So, this is the awareness show, and we are starting live at 5 o'clock. So, my guest is early today. Sometimes I have guests that are late. So, we love technology at its finest. Hi, Eric. I have known you for 9 years now, going on 9 years. This is the first time we actually meet in person. You're an alumni at Cal State Dominguez. Is that correct? Did you go to Cal State Dominguez?
Kind of, sort of. When I was actually in my early 20s, I was working this job where I was working with a record label, and I was working in music and I was promoting different bands, different artists. And my favorite radio station that I used to work with was KDHR over at Cal State Dominguez Hills. And I would hook y'all up with like, just cool CDs and stuff. We would do like radio promotions and I would get like the artists on it. And I have a lot of love for Cal State Dominguez Hills. Unfortunately, I was not a Toro, but I got a lot of love for the Toros.
So, you know, I had just branched out. I'm doing my own show now and KDHR is my home away from home. You should go by see the new studio. I mean, it is totally awesome. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's cool.
I don't think I've been on the campus of Cal State Dominguez Hills for at least 3 or 4 years, but I have so many fond memories of that studio. I remember it was kind of like under the Union, so you could like run up and get like a Subway sandwich or something.
We would call it the dungeon because it was so hot down there. We call it the bat, the bat cave dungeon. We kind of in there like four times, so they finally moved us up to the locker union. So where people can see us now and all that stuff. And Steven is now in charge of KDHR. So he's
nice.
Yes.
Steven James, great guy.
Yes. And so they're doing it remotely now. You know, they're not doing it on campus because of COVID-19 and everything's going haywire. But they are still producing shows from KDHR, but they're just doing it remotely, so which is kind of cool. And I bug Steven every now and then because I still always ask for help. So there you go.
I love that. I'm going to throw out a name really quick. I used to work very closely with the Smitty and D Show, Michael Smith and Daryl Williams. Yes. Do you remember those guys?
Daryl was awesome. Yes. Yes.
So the crazy thing about Daryl is I actually knew Daryl before I even got into doing stand-up. I was doing zero stand-up, zero comedy. And same with him, Daryl Williams, who's an amazing comic if you're listening, great guy. He was really into radio. He really wanted to do radio. So we met each other at this like different, you know, these points in our lives when we weren't doing comedy. Flash forward, 10 years, 9 years in the future. Now we're both comics. And we're like, how did we know each other before we even started doing this? This is so crazy.
I did not even know he's in comics now because I haven't heard from him since 9 years, since he left KDHR. So
yeah, he's doing stand-up. He's great. He's hilarious. Obviously, stand-up's a little weird, with COVID-19 happening. But I would randomly run into him at least maybe once or twice a month, going to open mics, going to shows. He is definitely doing his great comedy thing. And it's super cool to have those friendships like us, like Daryl, like everyone else, where it's like, wow, so much time has passed. And
right. So do you ever perform at Comedy Magic Show in Hermosa Beach? Uh-oh. Eric, did I lose you? Eric? Uh-oh.
Hey, I'm getting a little bit of frozen vibes from you. Can you see me?
I can see you. I was just asking
if you ever... Okay, I can see you now. Perfect.
I was just asking if you ever perform at Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa Beach.
You know what? I don't think I've ever performed there. I've hung out there. I've had some friends who performed. I've gone and supported, hung out in the green and stuff like that. But it's crazy because, a lot of people, if they think, if I were to ask someone, what do you think the best comedy club in the world is? A lot of people might be like, oh, well, I think it's, Caroline's in Times Square, New York City, or I think it's the Laugh Factory, the Comedy Store in Hollywood. For me, I think the Comedy Magic Club is one of the best clubs in the whole world. And it's like a little comedy secret because, it's in, is it Hermosa or is it Manhattan Beach? What beach city is it at?
Actually in Hermosa, yeah. And a lot of famous comedians, perform there, like Fluffy, my good friend Bobby Collins. I don't know if you ever met him yet, but
yeah, I know Bobby Collins.
He's been on the show a couple of times, so he's really funny. You know,
Jay Leno, Jimmy Chalker, you
Jay Leno, yes, he performs there on Sundays sometimes. He used to do his routine for what was it? What was that show? I can't remember the show.
The Tonight Show.
Yes, thank you. So, you know, a lot of famous people have gone over there, and then you know, I wonder how they're doing now because of COVID-19. You know, the comments, they're not performing. I saw that you're doing a virtual event online, and
yeah.
I was going to ask you, how do you feel about that?
You know what? It's really interesting. I think when this whole pandemic really hit us, we became locked down and a lot of the shows started to fall off. A lot of clubs started going under. Just live entertainment and live comedy just was going to be so hard in this thing. I really kind of made a move and made an effort to do a lot more virtual shows and online shows and Zoom shows. And it was interesting because I feel like the comedy community was very split. Half of them were like, comedy's going to be down for a minute. Let's do this new thing. It's virtual. It's weird, but it's something. And the other half were like, we don't like this. We're not going to do virtual shows. And it's interesting because I can understand why they might have a little bit of weirdness towards it or awkwardness towards it, because it is very strange. Like right. When I'm in a room doing comedy for people, I can feel their laughter. I can hear their laughter. I can get a really good read of like, oh, I did this thing and that worked, or I did this and they didn't like that, so let me adjust to this. In a Zoom show, the whole crowd could have their cameras up, or the whole crowd could be muted, or be making dinner. I mean, like, they're not really as focused, they're not invested as a live audience who's, you know, in person might be. You know what? It's something, and I enjoy it, and I'm grateful it's there, and I'm happy it's there, but it's definitely different from what I'm used to.
Exactly. It's not the same, like, you get, like, the one-on-one, like, you could pick on somebody in the audience, you know, and they laugh at that time, but now it's like, you don't get that vibe, you know, where the people,
exactly.
You,
pick on
them. You know, it doesn't feel, it feels weird at this time, so I'm hoping eventually everything will go back to normal, you know, next year, maybe, or so,
I'm hoping sooner rather than later. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a strange time, and so like I said, I've been doing remote podcasting now, and you know, the Where to Show is actually on iTunes, Podomatic, what do you call it, Pandora, Amazon Music, you know, and that's one thing Steven has always told us, taught us, is just to go out there and do your thing and get guests that would come back to go on the show. And I'm like, okay, this is a perfect time to get new people on the show, talk about, you know, what's going on, what kind of events are happening, and, you know, get the word out. And so I said, Eric, let's get you on, because I know you've been wanting to come back on for a while, and, you know, this is a perfect time. So are you doing any events through this COVID time? Or are you, like, getting prepared to do any virtual events online?
So it's interesting. And I just want to say really quick, it's super great to be back. Like, it's so cool to, you know, like I said earlier about KDHR and the Smitty and D Show and stuff like that. You know, you have these like homies like you and these amazing friends like you. And then, you know, years in the future, we're like still doing the awareness show and it's still consistent. We're still doing it. And whether it's hard times of pandemic or, you know, easier times pre-pandemic, we're still doing our art. So it's so cool to be back on, and I'm so excited. But in terms of like new shows, it's been a little tough. So when the pandemic first hit, I actually had about 3 or 4 months that I had to cancel because we were in the pandemic. So I've been doing a little bit of stuff back on the road, which is kind of cool, but also kind of like, you know, I want to be safe. I want to make sure everyone's good. I don't want to spread anything. So it's kind of like that weird balance of like, I have to go and get the work, but also when I'm there, you know, it's not like I can hang out with the crowd afterwards or go get drinks at a bar with everyone, right, or, you know, party with people. It's like, no, I'm done with the show. Thank you. I'm going to go back to my room and take like the longest shower ever. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to wipe down everything and like wear my gloves and wear double masks. So it's, like, so I would say in August and September, I did a little bit of road work. I was on the East Coast. I was in Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. And then I got back and then I did a week in Oregon in the Northwest. And it was really interesting because I feel like, you know, you get to experience this thing you love, but it is a lot more muted now. And you just have to handle it differently. You know what I mean? You like can't really sell merch like you used to, or shake everyone's hands, or give everyone hugs. So when it comes to shows coming up better, especially like the live ones, I'm kind of just like, all right, I want to enjoy this. I'm super grateful for this. And I have a couple things coming up. There could always be more, but it just can't be as like, I don't know, connecty as it was before. You know what I mean? There's a lot more conscious moves that have to be made to keep people safe and make sure that I'm staying safe.
Well, I know that for a while they were doing, was it the Tura Drive? Was it Drive By?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
So I haven't done any drive-in shows. I'm open to them. I would love to do them. It just hasn't worked out so far yet. I actually have one coming up in February over in Barstow. But what's wild about it is I've heard that and seen videos that they don't laugh, they honk. And they like flash their lights. And I'm like, that would like throw me off so much if I was doing a set and people were just honking at me. But at the same time, thank you, because those honks are laughs. So I appreciate it. But this is so strange. I don't want to say it's good. I don't want to say it's bad. But we live in a strange time that is a thing.
Exactly. Because I know, Ventura Comedy, they had one up here a few weeks ago. Huh. And I guess it went pretty good. I'm not sure. But it's not the same. Like I said, it's not the same as going to the comedy show and, you know, getting to laugh on and, you know, hanging out with you guys or... It's just not the same. It's not the magic. It's not there. You know what I'm saying? If that makes sense.
No, totally. I get it. And the thing is, you know, I think audiences and fans, they want to feel that magic. I think us comedians, we want to feel that magic. We want to give that magic. So we all want it.
Right.
We all want to feel what we used to feel. But now we're in a time where it's like, to stay safe. If we can get half of that, or if we can get 30% of what we had, and keep it safe, but still get a little bit of something, I'd rather take that than nothing. You know what I mean? I'd rather have cars honk at me or someone on mute just nod at me on a Zoom show than not have comedy at all.
Now, what kind of comedy style do you do? Do you do like politics or what kind of stuff do you do?
I'm a silly guy. I think a lot of people look at me because I have this beard and, you know, I used to be like kind of a bigger guy. Everyone was like, oh, he seems like a tough guy or like a mean dude. And honestly, I think everyone was always so surprised when, you know, they would see me maybe backstage or outside of the club. And then they would watch me get on stage and perform because my act is really silly and it's really goofy. And I love, you know, I love silly one-liners. I love puns. I make a lot of noises. Like, for me, like, the wackier and weirder it is, the better. So that's kind of how I like to deliver my comedy, because it's fun that way. I have nothing against political comics. I think there are some amazing political comics. I have nothing against blue comics or dirty comics or clean comics or prop comics. Whatever comedy you do, as long as you're having fun, that's the main part of the game. And I have the most fun when it's, like, silly and funky and weird and awkward.
So during this pandemic, do you have like new material because it's COVID-19 and are you working on anything like doing with the COVID-19 stuff? Like,
totally. I feel like it's interesting because I have a lot of bits that I talk about and that I do where when I think about it now, I can't say something where it's like, oh, last week I was at Disneyland or the other day I was at a birthday party with 100 people. Like, there are jokes that I would have, we're phrasing them now in this, you know, very kind of COVID-19 world. It just wouldn't sound right. And I would sound like a horrible person. Like, no, wait, I wrote that a year ago. I didn't just go out to a giant party. So it's interesting. I feel like I've been adjusting a lot of my jokes so they make more sense kind of in this time. I have a lot of jokes about my amazing girlfriend, my amazing partner, just because we were quarantined together for a couple months. And we weren't living together. We weren't, you know, like, we were going on some dates every week, but spending that much time with one another oh man, you write every single joke with every flaw that you will find in that other person. You love them. They're amazing. You don't think they have any flaws, but there are things where you're like, this needs to be written down. I got to work this out on stage. I love you. Oh, I can't go outside. Let me just go in the other room.
Yeah, no, I've been quarantined with my parents and they're in their 60s and I'm at high risk. So we can't really go out as much as we like to. So we've been like dilly arguing here and there, but I think it's to the point we're all cooped up in the house and we just want to get out of the house and we can't get out of, yeah. You know what I mean? We're just, it's just been chaotic. And then, you know, we've had, so I keep in, like I said, I have time to do the podcast. That's my downtime. Uh-huh. That's my fun time. And, you know, I love you guys and I miss you guys. And it's just like, I want to be out with people. I want to, you know, I'm a people person. I like to hug people, but I can't do that right now. So like itty bitty little space, that's where I'm at right now, my little bubble. So it's like,
it's crazy. Kind of like what you're talking about when you're just like, you just want to hang out with people and see people because you've been cooped up. Like the other day, I think I like had to get gas and I didn't have like, I wanted to be in cash or something. So I like pulled right. up and then I went inside and I like paid for, you know, my gas or whatever. And I had maybe like a 10, 15 minute exchange with the cashier. You know what I mean? Like, hey, how you doing? How's your day's going? It's great. Can I get 20 bucks on 7? Oh, the weather's nice. Yeah. And that like 20 second interaction, it was a thrill. I was like, just yay! Talking to someone else for a couple seconds and be like, oh, wow. This is great. Wow. What an adventure.
I know. I mean, right now, the only fun thing that I do is go play Pokemon Go outside the park. That's my fun thing that I do right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's tough.
You know, it's tough. I mean, you got, you know, people like, well, when are you going to come to LA? I go, not for a while, you know, so. And they're like, when are you going to come back to KDHR? I'm like,
I don't know.
So, it's a world that we have to live in and we have to be aware of what's going on and, you know, is the shots going to be worth getting? Is it not going to, you know what I mean? And so yeah. those are things that we need to take care of. And then we have our elders who are in their 60s and 70s, even 80s, you know, they can't really go out that much. So right now it's just kind of pandemic going on. And then we have our inauguration coming up, which is January 20th. So mm-hmm. we'll see how that goes, you know. So,
yeah.
And then we just lost Tommy Lasorda this past week, you know.
Which was wild. It's interesting because I remember I used to go to church in downtown LA. And I don't know if Tommy Lasorda lived in downtown or whatever. But here's the thing. When I was growing up, I was never a big Dodger fan. Like I was a Dodger fan because I was from LA, but I didn't really follow the seasons and I didn't know who Tommy Lasorda was. And it's crazy because there was this protester outside of my church and I forgot what was going on, but he was this guy and he was like yelling up a storm. He was really mean. And this guy runs up the street and he takes his sign, breaks it across his legs, throws it into traffic, runs back in his car and drives away. And everyone's freaking out. And I thought they were freaking out because he just, you know, broke this sign, was crazy. Turns out it was Tommy Lasorda. And I was like,
oh, wow.
That's so crazy. Like, this guy is so LA and he's so cool that he doesn't care. If there's a protester protesting outside of a church, he will go in, break his sign, get back in his car. What a cool guy. And I was like, who's that? He was like, the Dodgers. And I'm like, what? I love hot dogs. You know what I mean? I didn't put the connection together. But I was like, man, what a guy. LA's lost a big gem.
Yes. And then it's just been so much celebrities this past. Another celebrity that just passed was the Hooks from Police Academy. She just passed away.
Oh, my Lord. I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah, she passed away. And then you like have all these celebrities are passing away within a week apart. I'm like, that's a big chunk of my, you know, childhood, you know?
Yeah.
And then what was it? I don't know if you watch wrestling, but Drew McIntyre just got
COVID-19.
Yes, he got COVID-19.
Same with, I heard Mick Foley got it too. It was about a week or two ago Mick Foley got it.
He got it. He was in his, I think Mick Foley is in his 60s, if I believe.
Yeah, he's up there.
So.
Oh, that's crazy.
It is scary. I mean, you know, you got to be careful going out before you contact, you know. It's just.
It's hard times right now. And what's crazy is, you know, kind of bringing up wrestling, Drew McIntyre and Mick Foley and all those guys. I'm also a big wrestling mark. I'm a big wrestling fan. But I didn't realize until this pandemic happened, if anything, most of wrestling is the fans. You know what I mean? Like, you can watch a match and it can be an okay match. Like, I'll put it this way. I love The Rock. I love Stone Cold Steve Austin. I don't think they were ever the best wrestlers. They, you know, were very famous. They were very great, but they're probably not the best. But even though they only have a couple basic moves, when that audience watches them perform, it is like fire. It is the best thing ever. People are yelling. People are cheering. Everyone's in sync. They all feel the same thing. But then you can have, you know, two wrestlers who do a bunch of flips and spots and crazy things. And if the audience isn't into it, it's not going to be as good of a match as the two guys who just have some charisma. And it's wild because throughout this whole pandemic, I'm watching wrestling and it's not as exciting because there aren't any fans. You don't hear that reaction. You don't hear that crowd. Nope. You don't hear that pop.
It's like on Zoom. It's like, it's not the same. It's not Amen. The same way you see Hulk Hogan alive, you know, doing the boot or you know? And so let me ask you, who is your favorite wrestler of all time?
So I have a tattoo of Shawn Michaels on me.
Uh-oh.
So if I didn't say Shawn Michaels, it would be the wrong thing because I got a tattoo of Shawn Michaels on me. But even though he's very, very up there for me, as a kid, my favorite wrestler was Mick Foley, Mankind, Cactus Jack. So adult Eric Shawn Michaels, kid Eric Mick Foley. How about you? Who are your favorites?
Well, I'm old school, so I would have to say Hogan, of course, or Brett.
Of course.
I love Brett. Hard. Huge fan of Shawn Michaels. I even had his, Playboy, when he was on the cover of Playgirl.
Yes, he was. It better have been Playgirl. If it was Playboy, those guys got the wrong thing coming. Oh, that's the wrong issue for them.
Yep, and my very first match was back in the 1980s. We were sitting in nosebleeds. I was like 5 years old when wrestling first came out. And then they were smoking pot and everything. So, you know, you got this little kid watching wrestling and they're smoking pot behind you. So it was kind of cool, you know. A lot of fun. And so, I don't know. Do you remember Nick? Do you remember Nick Bolt? Well, he's from KDHR. He used to hang out with
Steven so.
And Smitty and everything else. He's also another big fan of wrestling. And he likes Randy Macho Man, so I'm giving a shout out to
him. Oh, yeah.
There you go. So, you know, it's weird. And then now you got the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. I don't know if you ever watched that.
Yeah, Glow. Well, here's the thing. I remember when I was a real little kid, I remember original Glow. Because it would come on like late at night on, you know, channel like 20 something or 50 something. And it's weird because I remember when the Netflix Glow came out, everyone was like,
right.
Oh, this thing. I'm like, wait, no, you don't understand. That's based off a thing when I was a kid. This is like a thing. Like it was a thing. And I remember freaking out when the Netflix show came out because I was like, this is like part of my childhood. This is so cool. This is so awesome. I remember these characters. It was wild. I love it.
Well, it's funny because recently I actually got to interview Roxy from Gorgeous Glow.
Oh, nice.
She's best friends with my favorite Glow wrestler, Matilda the Hood, which I met a long time ago. And so it's like people are like, oh, you like wrestling? Oh, it's fake. No, it's not fake. Some of it's real, you know. And then you hear the dead man retiring again. And then he's you know. You know what I mean? He retires, he comes back, he, you know, like, so.
Yeah. I remember Matilda the Hutt. She freaked me out, man. Because one, she was huge. She was a huge lady. And two, she was like, she was definitely the biggest heel. She was the meanest one. She's like all angry. But didn't she come out and like eat steak? She would eat like raw steak in front of like the crowd. Ah!
It was funny because when I was a little kid, her niece or nephew used to go to the same daycare that I went to. And I met her. And I was like, Mom, I think that's Matilda the Hutt. And she goes, yeah, it is. So, and she is so nice in person. You know, very, 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 very nice. Yeah. You know? And so a lot of people think wrestling is fake. And I'm like, wrestling is not fake, you know, to a point. I mean, WWE, it's pure entertainment. So, you know.
People can call it fake. But also, when you see a guy who has, you know, a tear in his forehead and he's bleeding out and, you know, it's both of his knees are gone and he's like crawling away. It's like, this might have a little more realness to it than I wouldn't do that. You know, yeah, exactly.
He's like the king of all disasters when it comes to the ring and everything with the, you know, bright fire and everything. One of the best wrestlers, you know, and now you got these other wrestlers that are not so really great in WWE.
WWE is tough because they're going through a thing right now where for a long time they didn't really have any competition, so they would just kind of do whatever, you know what I mean? They'd have a couple good storylines, they have a couple good wrestlers, a couple good arcs would be really great, but now there's AEW and Impact and New Japan and all these other promotions, they're doing really good stuff, and it really shows you that WWE is like, They're just kind of treading water. They're not really like doing anything cool or creative or fun. It's just like, look at what all these other guys are doing. Right now.
I know, it's crazy. So Eric, do you have any social media or any platform they could follow you?
Most definitely. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on everything, but my main thing is Instagram. So if you have Instagram, follow me at Eric Escobar. That is Eric with a K, E-R-I-K-E-S-C-O-B-A-R. That's also my handle for Twitter and most other things. So just look me up on there. You can catch all my new shows, see what I'm up to. And I would love to see any of the Awareness Show League of Supporters come on out and just show. It'd be a great time. I love the Awareness Show. I love y'all.
Oh, thank you. So are you going to have... Do you see yourself doing any Netflix shows any future? Do you plan to do that?
I would love that. We're in a crazy time right now, and I'm still keeping that hustle up. I'm still submitting to clubs, still submitting to a lot of TV work, a lot of movie work. Hopefully that Netflix special will come one day soon. When? I'm not sure, but it's coming soon. It's coming soon.
And we also have a mutual friend, Paula. Paula? I forget her name. She's gonna kill me later. But she's married to Mark, and she's on Facebook sometimes, and so she's watching the Awareness Show. So shout out to her. And then again,
shout out
Steven, we love you. We miss you. You know, it's tough times right now at COVID-19. Eric, my question is the last question: are you thinking about getting the shots when it comes available for COVID-19?
You know what? If I was able to get a vaccination right now, I definitely would. I think it's kind of one of those times where even though we're a little unsure of what might be in there and what's going on, how it might affect things, you know, if it's doing what they're claiming it's doing, and we can use this vaccination to help other people, especially, you know, people who are elderly, people with pre-existing conditions, people who are more prone to, you know, really getting hit hard with COVID-19. If I can do it for them and have them be safe, yo, let's at least give that a try.
I think that's it. And Eric, thank you for being on the Awareness Show. I want to have you come back on the show in eventually about maybe 2 months and have a follow-up. See if you have any new events coming up or any new comedy shows you want to throw at me. So
how's that? I would love that. Michelle, it's always a pleasure. Many, many thanks, my friend, for having me on. And I will talk to you very, very soon.
Yes. See you guys later. This is the host, Michelle Padilla, and we are out.